Let's take our Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to be in verses 3 through 5. I'm going to skip over verses 1 and 2 because we're going to get those in a couple of weeks on Labor Day weekend. They fit in so well. So we're going to be in verses 3, 4, and 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Pew Bible page number is there, and feel free to grab the Pew Bible and use that. And if you need a handout, our ushers will be glad to bring you one. All you got to do is just lift up your hand. You that come regularly know the routine. Just lift your hand up if you need a handout, and they'll be glad to bring you one. They're coming down the aisle. All right. How many of you, when you were in school, how many of you remember the true-false questions? Raise your hand. You ever do a true-false? How many of you hated them like me? Raise your hand. Yeah. I know some of you loved them because you had a 50% chance of getting it right. Me, when I had not studied, I always seemed to guess wrong. And I always guessed wrong. And it just frustrated me so bad, those true-false questions. Whenever I would see them, I would just, you know, just cringe. But, you know, as much as I hated them in school, did you know that it's even more dangerous in the spiritual realm if you can't tell true from false? It's very dangerous. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book to Timothy, he was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. But not just an apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles. That was the position he was given by Christ personally. In case you didn't know, the Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, more than any other author. He wrote Romans through Philemon. This is one of the books that Paul wrote, and he wrote it to his son in the faith, Timothy. And Paul gave to the church today, the body of Christ, he gave us sound doctrine. And all that means is truth. He gave us sound truth to be able to base our lives on today. There's a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of falsehood that's being propagated. The world will tell you all kinds of lies. And Paul said, I'm giving you truth. I'm giving you the truth of God that you can surely build your life upon. And because Paul knew his position, he was the apostle of the Gentiles, and because he knew its importance, Paul was very adamant to Timothy about following the instructions and the teaching that he had given him and to not fall prey to any other doctrine. For example, look up at the end of verse 2, same chapter, chapter 6, and at the very end of verse 2 is an example where he would say, hey, Timothy, these things teach and exhort. What things? The things Paul was telling him. You go over to chapter 5, flip back a chapter, chapter 5, verse number 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. These things command and teach. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. You go over to chapter number 1. Flip back to chapter 1. Another example. Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach, and what's the last three words, church? No other doctrine. He said, I want you to charge them, Timothy. Take what I've given you, and you charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Just like today, there were false teachers that were teaching things that were contrary to the sound doctrine that Paul had been teaching the churches. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 4. Look at the next verse. He says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Look down at verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. He says, man, Timothy, there are false teachers out there, and they are teaching this stuff. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're affirming. And man, you need to beware of these guys. You need to make sure you charge them that they stick with with the doctrine that I have given to you and that I have given to them. You see, church, listen, there's sound doctrine. There's sound teaching and truth to base your life on, and then there's false doctrine. In fact, Paul said in chapter 4, verse 1, that there was doctrines of devils. That is, Satan also has teaching that he wants to get into your mind. Satan has doctrine. God has doctrine. There are doctrines of devils. Now, who do you think Satan uses to spread his false doctrine? Well, of course, he uses people. In fact, in chapter 1, Paul names two of them by name at the very last verse there. Look at verse 20, chapter 1. He says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. These guys were teaching blasphemous false doctrine. Now, here's what you got to get, church. You got to understand this. And as your under-shepherd, as your pastor, I want to make sure I prepare you and equip you. And that's why we teach through books of the Bible. We've got a three-year Bible Institute program. We've got all these opportunities, life groups and so forth, for you to grow, because we're very serious about wanting to equip you. Because, you see, false teachers are very slick. They usually are not going to deny Jesus Christ. They're not going to come right out and deny the Bible. I had a great Bible Institute class. We met from 9 to 11. We meet on Saturday morning. We had our first class yesterday. Wasn't it great, Brother Shannon? We had 26 people in one room, and all of them are there to learn how to dig into the Bible, study, and prepare messages and sermons and lessons from the Word of God to be able to teach others. And I got so many great people in that class that are learning, and we had such a great class. And I told them yesterday, we're talking about sound truth, you know, to base your life on. And I said, where it gets tricky, as I said, false teachers don't come right out and tell you, hey, I'm a false teacher. Yeah, I said, when's the last time you went down Clyde Morris and saw First Church of False Doctrine? You ever see that? You know? How many of you have ever had somebody say, hey, I want you to come to my church? And you say, really, where do you go to church? Oh, I go down the street here. I go to the Wolves in Sheep's Clothing Church. I want you to come. Be a part of that, you know? No, I mean, they're not going to come right out and say, hey, I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. We are the First Church of False Doctrine. You know, they're not going to advertise it. False teachers are going to talk about Jesus. They're going to quote the Bible often. But you know what the key is? Whenever they're quoting the Bible, they are taking the Bible out of context. And, you know, the Bible is a very blessed book when it's taken in context. But it is a very dangerous book when it is taken out of context and it's misused. The Bible can be a very dangerous book when false teachers take it out of context and they misuse it. For example, just to kind of give you an illustration, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, that is a knife. That came from our kitchen. And I don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and I'm making my wife real nervous handling this knife right now. Right, honey? She's real, real nervous about it. In fact, this morning, I said, do we have any big knives for a sermon illustration, she said, right? I said, yeah. Oh, Dan, don't do that, she said. You'll hurt yourself. I'm holding on tight. Right, Brother Shannon? I'm holding on tight. How many of you would agree that knife could be dangerous? Say amen. In my hands, real dangerous, right? That knife could be really dangerous, and if it's misused, mishandled, it could really hurt somebody. Amen? How many of you believe that knife could be a blessing, though? You believe the knife could be a blessing? Absolutely. Why do you think it's in the kitchen? Right? It's there. Why? You can use it to cut up meat. You can use it to cut up vegetables. You can use it for whatever you use it for in the kitchen. I don't know what you use things like that for, but you could use it. And you could use it to be a blessing. You see, if that knife is handled correctly for its proper use, it's a blessing. If it's mishandled and if it's not handled diligently, if it's not handled carefully, then that can be a very dangerous instrument. The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is likened to a sword or a knife. And in the same way, the Bible... I better put this down. Here, let me... I'm making my wife nervous. There, it's down. It's there. All right. In the same way, If you wield this thing and you don't wield it properly and you misapply it, you misappropriate it, you mishandle it, by the way, can you mishandle the Bible? Paul said in his day there were people who were handling the Word of God deceitfully. That's what he said, his words, not mine. He said, we are not like those who handle the Word of God deceitfully. The Bible can be handled deceitfully. The Bible, like that knife, it can be wielded and it can do much harm and it can do a lot of damage. The Bible likens it. It says it's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So the Bible is like a sword. It's like a knife. It's got to be handled correctly. If not, dangerous. Can do a lot of damage. Here in this text, go back to chapter 6 and go back to our text. And in this text, Paul is going to give us some principles by which we can detect false teachers and not get sucked in to their false teaching. You have to be prepared to answer true or false when you hear somebody teach the Bible, including me. You have to put them to the test. You have to be equipped. You got to know your stuff. You've got to be able to tell when somebody's mishandling that book. You have to be able to tell when somebody is taking that sword of God's Word and they are mishandling it and they are misusing it. You have to. It's necessary for your spiritual health to be able to know these things. Now, Paul's going to tell you how. He's going to nail it to the wall in chapter 6. He is going to nail it to the wall, and I'm going to give you just one of three principles that he gives us this morning. Just one. I want you to think about one key principle, and it's found in verse 3. Look at it with me. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. And then he goes on, and verse 5, perverse, you know, and he tells them, withdraw yourself. They're false teachers. In your handout, here's the first principle. If you're going to be able to detect true and false teachers, you are going to have to understand the doctrine of Christ as revealed to Paul. You're going to have to understand the doctrine of Christ as revealed to Paul. Now, when you get done writing, look this way, because I want to draw an analogy for you. When you take in spiritual teaching, whether it's me this morning, whether it's on the radio, you listen to a guy, whether it's a book you read from the Christian bookstore, whether it's a Bible study you attend during the week, whether it's a TV show you watch, whenever you're taking in spiritual teaching, you are taking and absorbing that into your mind, into your heart. And I want you to picture you taking that in like eating. There are things that you can eat that have absolutely no health benefit at all. They may taste good. They may be pleasant, you know, in your mouth. But there's just no health benefit to it at all. In fact, if you continue to make a steady diet of it, it will slowly and surely erode your health. I brought in an example, and that example is, what if you made a steady diet of M&Ms? And what if that was the staple of your diet? This was your main dish for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And what if, I mean, at night, Denise brought me a plate, and my plate of food was a big old pile of M&Ms. That was it. I got up in the morning, I got my cereal bowl, and poured in M&Ms. Came home for lunch, got me another plate of M&Ms. Would you guys agree with me that I would see the effects in my health sooner or later? Absolutely. Absolutely. It will slowly erode my health. Now, there are other things that you can eat and that you can digest, and they'll build up your body. We know that carrots are very healthy. We know that carrots have all kinds of nutrients and vitamins you can eat them all the time. You can eat them consistently. You can have them for lunch, have them for dinner. You can eat them all the time, and there's health benefits. It's going to build up as you eat and you digest it. It's going to build up your body, and it's going to build up the cells in your body. Unlike the M&Ms. In the same way, the Apostle Paul, verse 3 said, there are wholesome words, there's wholesome teaching that you can take into your mind, there's wholesome doctrine, wholesome words that are going to build you up spiritually. By the same token, there are unwholesome words that if digested in your spirit, it's going to wreak havoc on your spiritual life. Look at verse number 3 again. He says, if any man teach otherwise, he's teaching differently, Timothy, than what I've told you, and he consents not to, what kind of words, church? Come on, say it loud. What? Wholesome words. Wholesome words. He says there are wholesome words. There's wholesome teaching. There is unwholesome, unhealthy words. There are false teachers that want to fill you spiritually with M&Ms, man. They just want to, they want something that may taste good to your spiritual palate, and it may feel good in the moment, but they're unwholesome. They're unhealthy words. It's not good teaching. You say, Pastor Dan, why would anybody want to teach unwholesome words? What? I don't know about that. Why would somebody just want to get up and teach something that's wrong and it's not right, it's unhealthy, it's unwholesome doctrine? Why would anybody want to do that? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. A lot of reasons. Sometimes they themselves are deceived. They believe the lies that they are propagating. They believe the lies that they're saying are true. They really sincerely believe it. But it does not change. It doesn't make it any less unhealthy. And it doesn't make it any less dangerous just because they believe it's true and they're sincere. If somebody tells me, Dan, I don't know if you know it or not, but those M&Ms, the inside is made, it's smashed carrots that they make that, and the outer candy shell is made out of broccoli. And they teach me that. They tell me that, and I believe it with all my heart, and I'm trusting in that, and I'm eating these M&Ms morning, noon, and night, and I believe they're going to help me and benefit me. They are healthy. I'm eating carrots and broccoli, baby, when I eat these. I can believe that all I want to. But does that make these healthy for me? Yes or no? No. It doesn't change it. It doesn't transform it into something else just because I was duped and believed it. And in the same way, when somebody gives you doctrinal error, when somebody gives you false teaching, just because they believe it's true doesn't make it any less dangerous and doesn't make it any less unhealthy. Sometimes people teach lies because they believe it's true. Sometimes people teach lies and they teach error for financial gain. Oh, really? You think? You say, I don't believe that. Really? You don't think that people, do you think that there are false teachers out there that are trying to make money off of what they teach, and they're trying to make money off of religion? Do you believe that people do that? They were doing it in Paul's day. He said they are teaching what they're teaching from house to house, and he said they're doing it for filthy lucre. They're doing it for money. Peter said they make merchandise of you. There are people who will intentionally teach false garbage because they know there's a market, they know people will buy it, they know that they can gain financially from it. Sometimes people teach false doctrine to control people. They use it as a control mechanism. And they teach things in order to keep people under their thumb and in order to keep the religious machinery going and all that. Then they teach things to keep them right there. Control. How do you detect these false teachers? Look at verse 3. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, here we go, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Paul said there is a doctrine that leads to godliness. There is a doctrine that is according to godliness. The result is godliness. That word godliness means the gospel scheme. Over and over and over, Paul talked to Timothy about following the doctrine that he, Paul, had given to him. Look in your handout at the bottom. There's an example. He wrote the church at Corinth. He said, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." That's pretty blatant. That's pretty bold. Paul wasn't egotistical. He wasn't being arrogant. He wasn't being proud. He knew his position. He knew the doctrine had been given to him by Christ. And therefore, he could boldly say, "You need to be a follower of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." He told Timothy, "Timothy, you've fully known my doctrine. You have fully known my manner of life. Teach no other doctrine." Timothy was to teach the doctrine that was according to godliness, the gospel scheme. He said, "You teach doctrine that's according to godliness, the gospel scheme." Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Where did Paul get his gospel? Where did he get it from then? If Timothy's to teach doctrine that's according to godliness, and that means the gospel scheme, well then where did Paul get his gospel? Turn your handout over and let's see. Galatians 1, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it." Where did Paul get his gospel? He said, "I got it by the what?" He got it from the revelation of Christ. Paul received his gospel directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes sense with verse 3. Look at verse 3 again, 1 Timothy 6:3. He says, "If any man teach otherwise," and he says, "and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of" who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Where did Paul get his gospel? He got it from whose lips? Jesus Christ. He says, "Into the doctrine which is according to godliness." He tells Timothy, if any religious teacher teaches anything other than what Christ, what I have gotten directly from the lips of Jesus Christ, he said he is proud, he knows nothing. I don't care what he claims to know, he's proud and he knows nothing. Well, that's exactly what Paul told the Galatian church. Same thing. It matches perfectly. Look at the screen real quick. He said, "I marvel," told these churches. These are churches that Paul started. "I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," which is not another. He said, "But there be some that trouble you, and they would pervert the gospel of Christ." He said, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be" what, church? "Accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received," and they've received it from Paul, first missionary journey, "let him be accursed." You see, when we talk about the words of Jesus, it's very easy to get confused. And I'm going to tell you why. Because a lot of people have in their Bible the words of Jesus in red. They think those are the only words he ever spoke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record for us, this is in your handout, Jesus spoke words while on earth, but the context of those words, where he was ministering to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, preparing them for their coming kingdom to earth. Read the context. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is ministering only to the people of Israel, God's people, and he is preparing them for what's coming ahead. He's their Messiah, their King. A lot of people think that's the only words Christ ever spoke. They think that's all he ever said. Let me ask you a question. When Christ died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended back up to heaven to the right hand of the Father, did he ever talk again? Did Christ have anything to say after he ascended to heaven, yes or no? He had a lot to say, didn't he? He had a lot to say. In fact, he appears to Paul in Acts chapter 9, reveals to him the gospel that Paul got to give to the Gentiles. And then he said, you're not only going to get this revelation, he said, you're going to get a series of revelations from me. And Paul then, by direct revelation, by, from the lips of Jesus, proceeds to give us the doctrine for today. In your handout, it says, from his heavenly position, Christ spoke to Paul about things concerning this present time period and the church, the body of Christ. That's us. Now, you mark this down, underline it, take it to the bank. I will guarantee you this. A false teacher is going to make a habit. This, I'm telling you how you can tell them. A false teacher will make a habit of not adhering to Christ's spoken words from heaven given to us through the Apostle Paul for today. They love to misquote, misapply passages of Scripture from other portions of the Bible. I'll give you an example. A false teacher will say to you, you know, you can lose your salvation after you get it. You can lose your salvation. And then you say, what? I thought once I got saved, I was always saved. I was a child of God. I was in his family. And that nothing could separate me from his love. And they say, oh, no. No, Jesus said himself. Man, it's in red in your Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Man, if you don't endure to the end, you're going to lose your salvation. Is that right or wrong? That's wrong doctrine for today, isn't it? When Jesus said that, that had nothing to do with a Gentile living in the church age. He was speaking to the apostles. He was preparing them for the tribulation and enduring through that tribulation and then going into the kingdom on earth. Had nothing to do with you. But they will take that verse, phew, pull it out of context, and like the illustration I said here, they'll take the old knife of God's word and they will misapply it, they'll misuse it, mishandle it, and you got to be careful, or you can get cut. Put that there. There we go. You got to be careful. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to? And by the way, you ask him. You say, "Well, endure to the end, and I'll be saved." What does that mean? How do I endure to the end? And you know what? You'll find 9 times out of 10 that enduring to the end—they're the only one that can tell you that. It's keeping all the religious rules of their organization. And if you keep all the rules and you do all the things they tell you to do, then you just might be saved. I am glad to tell you we don't have a hope so religion. We don't have a hope so faith. We got a no so faith. We can know that we're going to heaven when we die. We can know that we're a child of God. And if you don't know that today, you don't have to worry, oh, well, you know, I'm not good enough, and maybe I haven't worked enough, and maybe I've got to keep enduring to the end, and I got to grit my teeth and keep at it. No, my friend, we are at peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine for today, see? Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, haven't you read Mark 16? Man, you got to be water baptized to go to heaven. Christ said you got to believe and be baptized and you'll be saved. You say, really? I got to be baptized to go to heaven? I didn't know that. Well, yeah, it's right there in red. It's right, it says it in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? Well, you know what? I bet you the thief on the cross is glad for that. Amen? I'd love to know how the thief on the cross got down and got baptized and then got back up on the cross and died, you know. Yeah. You see, when Jesus said that, there was a specific purpose and reason and time element to that. Those were not the last words that he ever spoke. And that, if you don't get anything else this morning, this is what I want you to get. When Jesus Christ died, buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven, those were not the last words he ever said. You'll hear people say that. Oh yeah, here we go, Acts 1:8. These are the last words of Christ. They're the last words on earth. But Christ then ascended to heaven and said a lot from his exalted position in heaven. And he gave doctrine for today through Paul to the church, the body of Christ. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, letting you know they're not one and the same. Things have changed. You don't have to be water baptized to go to heaven. God, somebody says to you, you know, God wants you to be healed. It is God's will that you be healed. And if you're not healed, you have missed God's will. You say, really? Why? Because they'll go to Matthew and they'll say, Jesus went through all the cities and villages, healing every sickness and every manner of disease. And then you may hear somebody say, send your prayer need in to us today with your best offering. And we will pray the prayer of faith that is sure to heal you. True or false? If you're sick, I hope you do get healed. If you're sick, I hope you get better. But to take the book of Matthew and say, oh, see, he healed every manner of sickness, and to say, now, you're guaranteed it's God's will for you to be healed. That's a misappropriation. Those were definite signs Christ was doing in his earthly ministry that would let Israel know who he was. There was a purpose and a reason behind why he did that at that moment in history. You have to take the Bible in context. There's a verse I want to bring up on the screen. Boy, this is one that gets used a lot by TV preachers. But he that receives seed, this is Matthew 13:23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit, brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And here's what they'll do. They'll take that verse, they'll grossly misapply it, and they'll say, here you see that if you take your seed and you sow it into good ground, God promises he's going to give back to you 100-fold, 60-fold, or at the least, you're going to make 30-fold back from what you gave. And they'll say, now today, friend, Christ wants you to give to our ministry, and you're going to sow into good seed with our ministry. And God has promised if you'll sow good seed into our ministry that you're going to get back 100-fold. Isn't it funny how the good soil is always their ministry? Sowing in good soil. The good soil is always their ministry they want you to sow into. And you're going to get back 30, 60, or 100-fold. If you give to a TV preacher that tells you that, do you think you're going to get back 30, 60, or 100-fold? No. No, you're not. No, you're not. You see, they have taken a verse out of what? Context. There's a context to that. Has to do with the kingdom for Israel. That doesn't have to do with you. You see how easy it is for false teachers to dupe people? They quote scripture. And many times they quote, but they misapply the very words that Jesus Christ spoke on earth. Our focus is to be the words of Christ that he spoke from heaven to the Apostle Paul. He wrote directly from Christ. Paul wrote directly from the lips of Christ, gave it to the church. And in your handout it says, he will provide you sound doctrine on which to base your life. How many of you believe that all the Bible is profitable? Do you believe that? It's all profitable, absolutely. Can we learn from all the Bible, yes or no? Yes. But is all the Bible written directly to you, a Gentile living in the church age? No. That's crucial that you understand that. Adam and Eve ran around naked, but I would not recommend that for you. You understand there's a context to them running around naked. All right? There was a time when it was sinful and it was wrong to have a little pepperoni on your pizza, but I'm glad we can do that today. Amen? There was a time when you would have been directly out of the will of God to be here today. You should have done it yesterday. Saturday, the Sabbath day. It wasn't just any day you choose to be the Sabbath day. There was a set day and it was the seventh day of the week. You see, it's important to understand that there's context to this book, just like any book. Just like the morning newspaper, there's context to what you're reading. And in your handout it says, God never changes, but his dealings with mankind changes. God doesn't change who he is and his character, but his dealings with mankind change. And I want to challenge you, it's at the bottom of your handout. Take those books that Paul wrote directly to you, the church, the body of Christ. There's 13 of them in the New Testament, Romans through Philemon. If you want to write that down, Romans through Philemon. Study them. Know them. I told my class yesterday in preparing and presenting God's Word, I said, you need to know Paul's books like the back of your hand. I said, you need to know. Hey, if I say a verse, you should be able to get pretty close. If I say a verse out of Paul's writings, you should be able to get pretty close and know the book and the chapter. Why? Those are Christ's words spoken to you from heaven. And even though Paul's 13 books are not in red ink, remember, God didn't inspire the red ink in your Bible. That's man that did that. I got a Bible where they put all the words of God in red. Anything that God spoke, they got it all in red. So, you know, man makes different decisions for how they're going to print Bibles and what they're going to do with that. That's not like, you know, God didn't say, put that in red ink, you know. And you need to understand that Romans through Philemon, that's God's red ink directly to you. That's the words of Jesus Christ spoken directly to you from heaven. Not from his position on earth as Messiah, but as risen head of the body. He spoke those words from heaven to you today. So how do we detect false teachers? You got to understand the doctrine of Christ as revealed to Paul.